Blog Talk Radio.
Warriors, come out to play. Warriors, come out to play.
They listen to Inside the Park. Inside the park. The RSV family. My usual suspects with me. Hot baseball topic. We're just going to jump right into it. I always tell them.
Gambling. What do you think about gambling?
It's
not gambling when you know you're
going to
win.
He's not coming out. Wait. The RSV family. You're listening to Inside the Park. Inside the park. Oh boy, I hope you guys are ready. Baseball season has begun. We are back in full effect. I was talking to the guys before we went on the air, and they got an energy about them. The season has started, and I got to let them off the cage. Let them off the leash. Mike, say hello to the people.
Hey, everybody.
Hank, you ready to go?
Oh, I'm so ready to go. This is the greatest time of the year. Season getting started. I thought we was going to start with a no-hitter, man.
We almost had one, but... You know, we got real baseball tomorrow going on at Comerica Park. But let's just jump right on into it. We had a big signing that went on since we last been on the air. The Cincinnati Reds fans are ecstatic, I believe. I mean, they had a huge contract. I don't know. Well, why don't we go to the Reds fans and see how they feel about it? Mike, tell the people how you... Our resident Cincinnati Reds fan feel about this this nice contract they just gave Joey Votto.
Wow. So first of all, I thought Hank was a big Reds fan, but I'll speak up for him. Understand. So first of all, you know, we were talking before the show. I'm absolutely floored that the Reds put this together, and you know, I think you have the same arguments you had out there for the Pujols contract, for the Fielder contract, as far as he's going to be 40 years old, 38 years old before this thing ends. And more than likely, he will not be worth what we're paying him at that point. But for a small market team to be able to keep their best player, very similar to Minnesota with Joe Mauer last year, is a big deal. It's a big deal if you're a Kansas City Royal fan today, if you're a Pittsburgh Pirate fan today. You know, it means that, you know, if television contract money is coming in and these teams now can afford to do it, Major League Baseball is cash rich and you've got a chance now to compete with the big boys. So for that reason alone, I'm excited about it. I think Reds fans are very excited about it because usually at this point you're thinking about, you know, who are we going to get when we trade them next year? You know, you don't have to worry about that now. You know, and it may come back to bite us in a couple years, but, We live in the now, right? And the window of opportunity is the next 2-3 years. And as a Reds fan, I'm really excited that they did it.
Let me ask you this, Reds fan: are you as excited if you guys can't afford to bring back Brandon Phillips next year?
All right, so that that kind of cracks me up a little bit, right? Because if we're going into the knowing the Reds like I do, or knowing a small market team like I do, okay. The question in the past wasn't, did you want to have Joey Votto or Brandon Phillips on your team in 2 years? Because really the answer was you weren't going to have either of them. Brandon Phillips more than likely is going to get $15 million a year for 3 to 4 years. You know, that's not a small market contract. Joey Votto, 20-some million a year, not a small market contract. But if you had to pick one, okay, and this is coming from a person who Brandon Phillips is my favorite player on the Reds. Okay, he brings the energy. He's a fantastic defensive player. Hit anywhere in the lineup. Just a great guy to have on your team. But Joey Votto is going to be an MVP candidate every year for the next 5 to 6 years. And Brandon Phillips is not. It doesn't mean he's not a fantastic player, but if you had to choose between the two of them, you're going to pick Joey Votto. Now, I still think there's a chance that they bring back Brandon Phillips. I do. They have a lot of young talent on that team, so, you know, there's not a lot of huge contracts there. But if I had to choose between the two, I think I'm going to choose Votto every time.
Wow, no love for that dude, huh?
Oh, he's fantastic, and I really, really hope that they sign him. To me, players like that are kind of that extra, that X factor, right? I think back to, you can say a Ricky Henderson type, but since I'm a Reds fan, I'll tell you the way Barry Larkin would work magic in a lineup at the number two slot, the way Biff Roberts, when they went to the World Series in 90, was just an awesome leadoff guy, getting on base, moving people over. Brandon Phillips is that type of player, and every team that's successful has a catalyst on it. And he's not the number one guy or the number two guy or maybe even the number three guy, but he gets things going. You know what I mean? And Brandon Phillips is that guy for the Reds. And when they do lose him, if they do, it'll be a big loss.
All right. Now me and Hank, we this is a question coming from both of us. You have to refresh our memory. Weren't you the guy who kind of took issue with the Prince Fielder contract? Wasn't that you?
Yeah, for the same reason that, I can take issue with the Votto contract or with anyone. First of all, when these guys are 38, 39, 40 years old, there's no way they're going to be producing at that level, a $30 million type player. It's just not going to happen. But unfortunately, that's the way it's being done right now. So you're being forced to make a choice, right? If I want Prince Fielder in his prime for the next 5 years, I'm going to have to drastically overpay him for the next 5 years. Is that a smart move? It's a tough move, but I tell you what, if you're a fan of your team and you think about the next 3 years, you're excited about it, let's not worry about 10 years till we have to get there.
Well, let's just let me and Hank go on the record as saying we got Prince Fielder for a year less, and Prince is younger than Votto, so we got you there.
I will say this, though.
Man that Joey is, right?
What's that?
I will say this about Joey Votto. So I think Cincinnati is being proactive here. Listen, you've seen two big-name first basemen bail to the American League, okay? And this guy is an MVP type of player. They can build a team around it. They weren't going to let their big horse get away. That's what it smacks up to me. After you get rid of a Pujols or Fielder, Joey Votto is the next one up. And there was nothing to say that he was going to be gone if they didn't go ahead and sign him. And, Cincinnati has a chance, we've been talking about it, of being a playoff team. You have to lock a player like that up.
Yeah, I think
let me add one more.
Go ahead.
Just
go
to
ahead,
give
Mike.
It some is that this was the largest contract ever given in Major League history to a non-free agent. And to think that it came from a bottom market club, no matter who it is, the Reds, whoever, is just telling you that maybe, just maybe, things are starting to change and that we're going to get a little more competitive balance out there.
You think? I think Magic's money floating around in the air may have something to do with it too. It's funny, as soon as the Dodgers had said they were going to be players, it seems like all these free agents are getting sucked up.
Yeah, but there'll be more people asking next year, right?
Yeah, I don't know. That free agent pool looks kind of depleted now. I think Cole Hamels is about it. But it's exciting times in Cincinnati, and I am happy that the small market team did it. But, tonight's the night. We got baseball going on. And, fellas, it's opening night. So let's get into I want to do something that we're going to try to do, follow through with each week. I want to ask you guys what game you guys are looking most forward to in the coming week, and then what series you guys are looking forward to in the coming weeks. So, Hank, why don't you let the people know what game and series you're looking forward to this week?
Well, let me tell you something. It's real. It's a no-brainer here. It's tomorrow. It's opening day. It's Comerica Park. It's Justin Verlander. It's against the Boston Red Sox. Baseball starts back in the D. I'm excited. You got the new look Red Sox. You got Bobby Valentine in town. You got Gonzalez in town. You got the Pedroia. You got Ellsbury. You got the MVP on the mound. Cy Young on the mound. You got Prince. He's doing his debut. You got Cabrera. What else can I say about that? You know, that's what I'm looking forward to. Opening day here. You know, it's a holiday, and I wish I had tickets, but I still may just take the day off anyway. But I got to tell you this, though. The series that I'm looking forward to, I do have a series. We're talking about coming down the road. There's a couple of them. But I don't. But as an American League, you know, city, you cannot, you know, I'm at bated breath. I can't wait to see when it's really Texas and the Angels going at it, you know. That's going to be fun to watch, you know, just all season long. That's going to be a hoot. So that's one series that when it comes down the road, I will be looking at.
Okay. Opening day in the D. I'll be down there. I'm excited. I'm ready to go. Mike, what do you got for the people? What game should they be tuning into in the coming week?
Well, you know, I'm on board with Hank here. Not that I want to go to the Detroit Tiger game. I mean, I got other stuff to do. But you know, whatever team it is you root for, it's opening day, right? And it's you know, in Cincinnati, that's been a long time tradition. It's a school holiday. Kids get out. There's a big parade downtown. It's a lot of fun. It's not so much about the game, but the season's starting. Summer's starting up. So I'm always excited to see that first hometown game with the Reds. But I think that's true of anybody who's a fan. You're excited to see your team play for the first time during the year. So that's what I'll be doing tomorrow afternoon, watching that game. I'll sneak in, take a long lunch. Hopefully the boss isn't listening today. So that'll be all right. And as far as the series goes, you know, there's some good matchups this weekend. But unlike Hank, I'm a fan of the better league, the National League. And I'm looking forward to the Cardinals-Brewers series. And just because there's a lot of bad blood between those guys, there's a ton of bad blood going on. So it'll be interesting to see how that carries over this year. Because you got to remember, that was neck and neck last year all the way to the end. I believe there's a lot of issues. Nigel Morgan, Chris Carpenter. First of all, who has trouble disliking the Cardinals? But with the resurgent Brewers up there, I think there's a lot of energy in that series, and it'll be fun to watch.
You know, I was going to say that. I don't think any team gets along with the Cardinals. Haven't your Reds had a couple of fisticuffs with the Cardinals as well?
Yeah, everybody has. I mean, what you hear about them in the league is they're just the biggest whiners out there, and I'm interested to see if that changes with La Russa being gone and Dave Duncan being gone. But they have a horrible reputation, and anybody who's challenged them in the Central has had issues with them. So if I told you the best rivalry in the Central historically, you're going to tell me it's the Cup Cardinals because they don't get along. Well, now apparently nobody gets along with them except the Astros, and we're making them leave.
Indeed. Well, I tell you, man, it's you can't go wrong opening day. You know, the fans are ready to go. If you've never been to opening day in any city that you're in, I highly recommend it because it is a big party. But the game I'm looking most forward to is taking place on the West Coast. And I'm gonna give the West Coast a little love because you know, they get kicked around with this East Coast bias so often. But San Francisco Giants and the Arizona Diamondbacks are opening up. I mean, these two teams battled it out last year for the NL West. And I expect the same thing to happen this coming year. And you got Tim Lincecum is going up against Ian Kennedy. You know, a lot of people don't know about Ian Kennedy, but he won 21 games last year and had a 1.22 ERA when he faced the San Francisco Giants. So I think that's going to be a great matchup, Lincecum versus Kennedy, an emerging ace. And, you know, if there's any way you can check that game out, I would definitely tune in. And then for my series of the week, you know, I've been beating the Miami Marlins drum all off season, and they're going to get a chance to prove me right, hopefully, the first week of the season. They got a 3-game set against the Philadelphia Phillies. So I don't know what my wife has planned for me to do, but just know I'll be watching those 3 games, whatever else is going on. I will be checking those games out. And there you have it. If you got the MLB package, we're letting you know what to watch. We'll be doing the same thing every week. Want to give you guys a little programming note. Next week, make sure you tune in at 9:30. Next week is going to be a big week. We've got Jonah Carey coming on the show. We're going to interview Jonah Carey. He is the author of The Extra 2%. He wrote a fabulous book. It's all about the Tampa Bay Rays and their rise to success in the AL East and how they were able to do it on a pretty much a shoestring budget. So Jonah Carey's coming on next week, the top of the show, 9:30 Eastern, 8:30 Central Time. If you don't tune in to any show, make sure you tune into that one or download it on iTunes because it's going to be big. And so next week, Jonah Carey, check it out. And, fellas, with the season upon us, I thought that we would take this If Gambling Were Legal segment that we do on this show to the next level. We're going to put it on steroids. And what we're going to do is I'm going to give you guys the over and unders for all the teams, all 30 teams, the over-unders, what Vegas has them at, over-unders for wins and losses. And I want you guys to tell me what you think, if they're going over and under. And then what we're going to do is, you know, we got a three-man booth here. So the one person who disagrees with the other two in inside the park fashion is going to have to defend their pick and hope not to be ridiculed and have tomatoes thrown at them by the other two. can you guys handle that?
Gotcha.
Is that what you throw? Tomatoes?
Tomatoes. What else? What else do people throw when they make a horrible pick?
Beer.
You don't waste beer. That's sacrilegious, especially on opening day. Come on now.
You got a point.
But let's jump right into these over-unders. And again, these are based on the Vegas lines. And let's go ahead and start in the West, because the West very rarely gets any love. The L.A. Angels, over-under. Las Vegas has them at 91.5 wins. So I'm going to throw it to Mike. Do you see the Angels going over or under 91.5 wins?
I went under on that.
Under?
Yep, under.
And, Hank, what you got?
You know what? I'm going under, too.
Well, I guess I'm going to be the first one. I don't understand how you guys can go under 91.5. Last year, they won 86 games. They got Pujols. They got C.J. Wilson. I mean, we can agree that they're going to finish first or second place, right, in the NL West.
Or AL West. Of course they are. But then you got Seattle and Oakland, so that's not saying much.
They're going to get all these wins against Seattle and Oakland. I got them going over.
Well, here's my reasoning behind it, okay? You got C.J. Wilson, and you're putting a lot into C.J. Wilson doing what he's supposed to do to bring that team some more games. Then you got Jared Weaver. What we've seen about Jared Weaver, I'm not convinced that Jared Weaver has it between the ears to do what he needs to do down the stretch for that team. And, in fact, if you remember last year, he lost his mind, you know, a couple of times when they had an opportunity to compete with Texas down the stretch, okay? So that's one thing. I think it's going to be some fun games. I think Texas is a better team. I don't think the Angels, you know, going through the rest of the American League, you know, they still got to go through some thoroughbred teams outside of just the Seattle and the Oakland of the world. And then they do have Texas in their division. So it's not like they're just going to just eat up on those teams and that's all.
I don't know. I see anytime you give me Albert Pujols playing up against Oakland and Seattle, I'm taking the over every time. I just think they're going to stockpile wins against a weak division. But that's just me. I think I dodged the tomatoes on this one. But, fellas, Oakland, where are you at on Oakland? Vegas has them at 72.5. Hank, you got the over or under on Oakland?
I got to go under.
What do you say, Mike?
I went under as well.
And I will round it. I went under as well. I see Texas and the Angels taking a whole lot of the wins in this division. And let's do this before I ask you where you see them ending up. Seattle at 71.5. Mike, you got the over or under?
I took under on them too.
The whole division can't go under, man.
Who Hopefully it sure can.
Where are you going to get their wins from, RJ? Where are you going to get their wins from? I'm going under.
I got, you know what, I had Seattle going under as well, but I can make an argument for them going over. And to keep it going, I'll switch mine and go over. Seattle, I'm almost sure you guys didn't watch the games. They were on at 6 in the morning in Japan. But Seattle doesn't have the worst offense anymore. They got Jesus Montero. I mean, last year they had 67 wins. This year they got Jesus Montero. Mike Karp is swinging all right bat. I know he got injured, but I mean, he's got some pop. Justin Smoke looks like he's hitting the ball pretty well. Ichiro's not going to have the down year that he had, I don't believe. Like I said last week, he legged out two infield singles, so that bodes well. That shows me that he has a speed back. I don't think they're going to be good, but let's be honest, 71 and a half wins is not, you know, you can go over that and still not be a good team.
You know, you're right there, and so I think the theme that you're going to see here is that because the American League is obviously stacked more than the National League with quality teams, large payrolls, quality players, that if you're a bad team in the American League, you're a bad team, and your record's going to show it more so than the National League just because the competition's better. So that 70-win plateau is tougher to reach in the American League than it is in the National League. So the haves and the have-nots, there's a big difference there, and I think you'll see that as we talk about other teams here in the American League. If they don't got it, wins are going to be tough.
Okay, well, let's go to one of the halves. We got Texas. Vegas has them at 91.5 wins, the same amount as the Angels. Last year, Texas won 96 games. I got them going over. Where you guys have them at? Over or under 91.5 wins?
I got them going over. I got them going over. I think they got a better pitching staff. I think they got the best pitching staff in the American League West. I think their bullpen is phenomenal. And if they won 96 games last year, I see them going over 91.
Now I know this is about over unders, Hank, but you just said something. Now you said Texas had the best rotation. You like it better than Weaver, Heron, Santana, and C.J. Wilson?
What did I just get through saying about Weaver? Okay? What did I just get through saying about Weaver? Weaver may be okay the first half of the season, okay, if he don't lose his mind, okay? I'm not sold on C.J. Wilson.
And you are on Yu Darvish?
Huh?
You haven't seen Yu Darvish pitch.
Huh? I'm talking about Texas bullpen is going to keep them in a lot of ball games. Plus, they got big pop, okay? They got a decent starting rotation, but their bullpen is ridiculous, okay? And you know, they're going to score some runs. So when you just look at what they have coming back this year, Yu Darvish is an X factor, okay? But I think that, you know, they're going to be able to protect him again with that offense. But, again, that back end of that you can't argue about the back end of their bullpen.
Mike, you were down on the Angels too. Are you echoing Hank's sentiments that Texas has the best rotation in the West?
No, I won't go there. I tell you what, I don't have a lot of confidence in the Angels lineup beyond Pujols. You know, when you're thrown out there, Torrey Hunter, Vernon Wells, that's an all-world team 5 years ago. But I think they're leaning pretty heavily on those guys producing, and so now. One thing that I do to look at is if you take one particular player off a team, you know, how much are they going to suffer? And the Angels, in my opinion, are the team that if you take one player off, Albert Pujols, that's a major, major detraction from their team. And this guy has injuries the last couple of years. So I think it's very likely that they go underneath because they're too dependent on a guy, and I don't have a lot of confidence in the rest of their lineup.
There it is. Well, let's keep it moving. Let's go NL West. Arizona. Vegas has them at 86.5 wins. I got them going over. What do you say, Hank?
They're going over. I'm surprised they got the Diamondbacks that low. You know, I think they're going to win at least 90 ball games. I'm surprised they got them at just 86.
Yeah, they won 94 last year. I was shocked.
Yeah.
They, It's a low number as well. What do you think, Mike?
You know, I put them under. That's a team that I don't have a great feel for, in that I don't know that they've been consistent for 3 years or 2 years in a row. Now, you know, they seem to be up 1 year, down 1 year, and that speaks to the young talent that they have on that team. So, you know, I put it under. Obviously, I think it could go the other way, but, you know, consistently they've shown me that they're not consistent. So that, for me, has made me put them under.
Okay, I'm going to go out of order here, and let's jump to San Francisco. Vegas has them at 87.5. Where do you have them, Mike?
So I put them over, and we touched on this team last week with some of our predictions for the postseason awards. And when you've got three legitimate Cy Young candidates in your rotation, I mean, wow. Now, obviously, the lineup has a lot of work to do, but man, that's half the battle right there. So I put them as over.
So is it safe to assume you like the Giants winning the NL West?
I like the pitching staff. Yeah, I do.
Okay. Hank, what do you say to the Giants, 87.5?
I got them over if. And over if is those guys, the three pitchers that we talked about, especially Matt Cain, who just signed that huge deal. If they produce, you know, and if they can stay healthy, I got them over if, because there's a real possibility that the Giants could implode this year. You know, so I think they can do it. I'm saying over if, but they could implode this year. They're a team that you know, I'm kind of concerned with.
But way to walk out on a limb there, Hank. Over if. You need some Geico for your picks? What's going on?
Hank, with that insurance.
All right.
All right, Colorado. Vegas has Colorado at 81.5. Last year they won 73. 81.5 for Colorado. Hank, can we get a definitive pick out of you for Colorado?
Yeah. I definitively say they're going over real. No, I'm just playing. Colorado, I believe, is going to go over 81 wins. I think that team is a sleeper in the West. I think they're a little bit better than they're getting a lot of credit for. I think Tulo is going to have a MVP type of season. So I look for them to go over 81 wins.
Mike, what do you got on Colorado?
I put them under. I think their pitching staff is really weak. I like their position players. They got some good talent there, but the pitching staff is weak. They're going to have trouble scoring enough runs to keep up with what they're going to be giving up. So I went under on them.
I got the over, which leaves you as the odd man out, Mike, again. Tell about the pitching staff. You telling me you don't like 49-year-old Jamie Moyer?
Yeah, I like him as my pitching coach.
No faith in the old guy, huh? they signed Guthrie too. You don't like Jamie Guthrie?
You know what they've got? They traded away their best starter. You know whether he was consistent or not last year, Ubaldo Jimenez. And when you're trading away, you know, a young number one, and you just don't have anyone to replace it, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So, you know, Colorado's been a fun team to watch in the past. They tend to get on these streaks where you never expect them to be that good, and they all of a sudden they start pulling off wins. But for them to do that this year, they're going to have to find a pitcher or two that can consistently put up quality starts for them. And right now, I don't see that guy.
All right. I can see that. I got them going over, but I definitely see your point. I definitely see where they could go under. But I don't think Colorado's going to have two bad years in a row. So the Dodgers, this is Hank's National League squad. Vegas has them at 80.5 wins. And do I even need to ask, Hank, are the Dodgers going over or under 80.5 wins?
They're going over 80 wins.
Matt Kemp all by himself, right?
Not by himself. Now, I said they're going over 80 wins. I didn't say how much over. They're a little bit better than 500. I think, again, you've got some nice young talent on that team. They've got a new attitude out there. I'm not picking them to win the West. I'm not even picking them to make the playoffs. But I think that they, they've got enough to win about 84, 85 ball games.
I got them going under. Mike, what do you got?
I got them under, too. And to me, it goes down to that same argument about you take one player off a team for whatever reason, and how good of a team are they? You take Kemp off that team, and they're noticeably worse. And that's if Kemp has the same year he had last year. If he had the year he had 2 years ago, then, you know, they're noticeably worse. So I went under with it.
Yeah, I don't like any of the moves they made in the offseason. They signed a bunch of replacement-level players, and it's going to be tough, I think, for Kemp to replicate that season again. So we're coming up on the last team in the NL West, the team that gets ignored, the San Diego Padres. Vegas has them at 73.5 wins. I got them going under. What do you got, Mike?
You know, I got them going under as well here, and this is a young team that's going to need to prove their way out there. And, you know, it's possible they could go over, but I just don't see enough proven talent on that team at this point. And for them to go over, they're going to have a lot of guys have career years, rookies come up and produce, and that's a lot to ask for.
All right, Mike, Hank, what do you got?
No, this one is unanimous. I have them going under as well. I just don't know where the Padres are going to get their wins from. They're a young team. And in a division where, you know, three out of four of those teams are going to be, you know, vying for the win. Well, I'm sorry, three of them. So I don't see them going over.
There it is. We broke that one down. No, San Diego, put your money on the under. Let's move along to let's go AL East, and we'll start it off with Baltimore, 69.5 wins. I mean, this is right around where they were last year. Last year they won 69. Now we got them at 69.5. The main question is, did they make enough moves to do better than they did last year? So what do you say, Hank? Over or under on 69.5, Baltimore?
I will make them over, but again, not by very much. I actually like the Baltimore Orioles. I like some of the talent they got, but they're playing in an extremely tough division. You know, Toronto's no joke. Boston's no joke. Tampa Bay, they're gonna have a hard time getting wins. This will probably be the best 70-win team in the American League, in my opinion. I think they got some nice young talent, but again, I don't know where they're going to get their wins from. That, you know, I think because the Central in the American League is so bad, and when they play those teams, I think they'll be able to, you know, scoop up some victories.
You know, I use that same argument and go under. I mean, I like some of their pieces. I like Matt Wieters. I like Adam Jones. But, again, that division, the rotation is putrid. And in that division, I mean, if you can't pitch, how are you going to face the Red Sox and the Yankees? I mean, and for that reason, I've got them going under. What about you, Mike?
I picked under, too. And once again, you talk about the discrepancy between the haves and the have-not in the American League, and the gap is widening here. And so if you look at, all right, they're obviously in a very tough division here, but now two more teams in the American League got better than they were significantly than they were last year, maybe three if you start Texas, L.A., and Detroit. So that's just three more teams on the schedule that are going to kick the snot out of Baltimore. So they're going to have a tough time finding the amount of wins they had last year.
All right, Boston. 90.5 wins for Boston. I'm going under. Mike, where are you at with Boston?
You know, I went over, and I could be convinced, not being a Boston fan, that they could go back under here. But I think they'll have a lot to prove from last year, from falling down the stretch. I think they've got more talent, or too much talent, to not be successful this year. Yeah, they're in a tough division, but they got the right type of payroll for it, and they got a lot of talent.
Hank?
I'm going under because I'm not convinced of what Boston's back end of their bullpen. You're right. You know, for the same reason, they're going to be able to score a lot of runs. But, again, their pitching staff outside of Beckett, you know, they kind of let them down a little bit last year, especially down the stretch. I'm not convinced, really. The jury is out on Bobby Valentine, and if he can get these guys together, You got Tampa Bay in that division. You got the Yankees in that division, which I think is just better. Yeah, you've got some guys. You've got some pieces. But, again, down the stretch, I just don't think that they're going to go 90 wins this year.
And that's what has me worried. I want to ask Mike, what about, I mean, after Lester and Beckett, I mean, where are you going after those two guys?
I'm going to go to Baltimore and see if I can get some pitching help.
Some cheap wins.
That's right. The old Philadelphia Athletics, or, you know, the farm team for the Yankees. I think they've got a lot of offensive firepower on that team. So you're right. A lot of guys are going to have to bounce back and have better years than they had last year. You know, maybe it's just payroll envy I have here. I think that's probably it talking.
Yeah, take a look at that rotation by next week and let me know what you think. Because, I mean, half of the rest of that rotation, I think they have two guys who didn't even start last year. I'm worried about them. I think this is a year Boston could actually, they may drop down to four in that division. So, the Yankees. 93.5. Last year they won 97. Hank, did you see the Yankees getting over or under 93.5 wins?
I basically see them getting 93. I'll go over. I'll give them 94. Yankees, again, you still got Mariano Rivera. Nobody's figured out yet. You know, they've picked up Pineda, and the Yankees is a kind of talented team. You know, so I expect them to win the division again this year. So, yeah, exactly. I got them going over.
Mike, where are you at on the Yankees? Are we doing another payroll envy here?
Could be, you know, but I'll grab onto your argument that you had against the Red Sox, and I'll take that for some reason as sane logic. And tell you that I really like the Yankees rotation. I think they're really deep. They got a nice mix of veteran guys and some younger guys there. And we all know that if for some reason somebody breaks down, there's an injury, the Yankees got no problem going out and trading and paying for whoever they got to get in order to fill that hole. So, you know, I have them over.
And I got them over as well. You know, you guys said it. All the same reasons you guys said. Yankees will definitely go over that 93.5. Next is an interesting team, the team that everybody counts out every year, and they just seem to do it and do it and do it. Tampa Bay Rays, 87.5. Over or under on Tampa Bay, Mike?
I went under. I did. The pitching is fantastic on that team. You worry about the offense. A lot of things have to go right for them, which has. In the last couple years, for them to, you know, jump up to that 89-90 win plateau, they've done it. I just think you're asking a lot out of that offense to compete with Boston and New York, so I'll go under.
Hank?
I'll go under for one reason, too. I'm not sold on the Rays offense. They've got a tremendous pitching staff, but they don't score any runs. You know, for a team that was a playoff team, the Rays, they went a lot of innings where they didn't get hits last year. And I think that the Yankees are better. I think Boston, you know, is Boston. But I think Tampa Bay, I believe that Toronto is improved this year. You know, and that's going to be tough for them. I mean, clearly the other teams they got to play in the American League that are better than last year. And I just, they're going to have a hard time getting the 90 wins. So I got to go under.
Well, I tell you, our guest next week, he actually wrote an article on this, and he has them going over, and I got them going over as well. I mean, they have, to me, they have one of the best pitching staffs in baseball. I mean, David Price, James Shields, Jeremy Hellickson. The staff is top-notch. Matt Moore, who is going to have an awesome rookie season. They have the pitching to get it done in the AL East. They have the pitching that can kind of, you know, neutralize some of those big bats. And you guys are concerned about their run-producing skills. They actually signed Carlos Pena in the offseason. I mean, he doesn't hit for average very well, but the guy can stroke it. He's got home run power. as well as Luke Scott. You know, I think they're going to use Luke Scott to his strengths, and I'm expecting big things from the Rays once again. I got them going over.
But now that was Luke Scott, right? Not Luke Skywalker, correct?
Luke Scott. I don't think Skywalker came out of retirement yet. He hasn't pulled an Andy Pettit yet.
Luke, you're going to hang your head on Luke Scott and Carlos, the Cubs, rented me for a year, and let me go, Pena.
I'm hanging my hat on the rotation, and I'm answering the critics who say they don't have any power by saying they added some power with Pena and Scott.
Didn't say they didn't have any power. I said they couldn't score any runs. I mean, you're going to get a lot of, one run, solo home runs. They don't score a lot of runs.
I think they don't need to with that staff, and they've had the best defensive team in for the past two or three years. So for a team that doesn't score as many runs as the Yankees and the Red Sox, they've got the team in place to neutralize that with their pitching staff and their defense, and that's why I'm not worried about them. So,
and they got Luke Scott, too.
Luke Scott. Luke Scott, baby. And then finally in the East, we got Toronto at 83.5. I've got them going over. Hank, where are you at on Toronto?
I've got them going over, too. I like the Blue Jays. I think they got a nice team. They got a decent pitching staff, but again, they're playing in the East. But, I'm looking for them to – they finished, what, 500 last year? I think they can squeak out a couple more victories and get over that this year. Again, you've got some teams in the American League this year that are just garbage, okay? And because of that, some of these teams, I look for them to have a little bit better year. I look for – a team like a Blue Jays that went 500 to pick up a couple of more victories, because there's some teams that there are some have-nots in the American League, and it's going to help them inflate some of that their record. I'll just come to go over.
Okay. And, Mike, where are you at with Toronto?
I have them going over, too. I think that's a popular pick this year. They've been trending in that direction. They've got some good young talent there. I think maybe they steal a win or two from Tampa Bay and from Baltimore and go a little bit over. I think they're trending in the right direction. And more importantly, too, this is a team where that second wild card spot could really affect them. Maybe in the previous years they were just on the outside looking in. Last year is an example of that. This year, though, this is a team that can add payroll. This is a team that can bring somebody on midseason a la the Yankees. And that may propel them to a couple late season wins that gets them over.
All right. So if you're going to Vegas in the next couple hours, everybody said it. Go to over on Toronto. Now let's jump over to the National League with Atlanta. 86.5 wins for the Braves. I got them going under 86.5. Where are you at with this one, Mike?
I put under on them. Atlanta underwhelms me for a lot of reasons. It's a tough division. I'm pretty lukewarm about them, and I'm just going to go under. They do a lot of things well. I don't know what they do that is great and can carry them through ball games, especially if Jason Hayward does not bounce back and have a great year. So I'm going to go under. And to me, Atlanta is just kind of – I got a blah feeling about them.
All right. Where are you at with Atlanta, Hank?
You know what, Mike, that's about the best I could describe it, a blah feeling about them. I think that when you look back at last year, I think a lot of people were – I don't want to say surprised, but just kind of like, wow, the Atlanta Braves are competing for a playoff spot, because they didn't do anything that just jumped out at you. You know, but they were right there. They were right in the midst until they collapsed at the end. Having said that, I don't see them even having that good of a year this year. In fact, I see them out of the middle of a pack sort of team this year. So I'm going with the under.
Everybody says under. You guys only like these big payroll teams. You don't like the teams that hit and run and steal bases, it sounds like. You guys like the flash.
You'll win a couple of ball games like that, but you gotta have some big boppers. You gotta have some game changers out there.
All right, my guys, the Miami Marlins. Vegas has them at 85.5. Last year they won 72, so we Vegas has them doing a big jump. Are you buying the big jump, Hank?
I have to because I've been picking the Marlins all year to do something good. So I've got to go with the big jump. I think that I got to stick to my guns. I expect them to make a big splash this year. You got an aging Philadelphia team. You got an exciting. Now, they didn't look too good tonight, but, you know, they pitched well. But I think that they've got enough to win at least. You know, they're going to challenge 90 wins this year.
Yeah, it looks like we're already one down. I'm going over two, but they took the L tonight. Mike, where are you at on Miami? Over or under?
Well, I have the correct position, which is under. This is going to be the most disappointing team in baseball this year. And the first thing is, you know, baseball logos aren't tough to do, all right? In general, simplicity, you know, the old-fashioned, you know, don't go Houston Astros early 80s. That Miami Marlin symbol is horrible. It's absolutely horrible. And that's going to cost them 5 wins right there. So you put that on top of Reyes, you know, being injury prone. You put that on top of, you know, a really volatile manager there. And I think this is going to be a tough year for Miami. I'm going to go under.
You don't like the Latin flavor, huh?
I think that is a horrible logo. That is a horrible hat. Horrible. It is reminiscent, if anyone can remember this, the old, I believe it was the Rockies, the NHL, Denver Rockies logo. It looks like that, you know, but it's pitiful. It's pitiful. What's wrong with an M? What's wrong with that? Just a nice, solid M.
Let's go to one of the most classic M's on the hat. We got New York Mets. Vegas has them at 73.5. Last year they won 77, so Vegas has them taking a slight dip. Where are you at on the Mets, Hank?
You know what? I don't like the Mets. You know, the only thing that's come out of the Mets camp this year is that, you know, Johan Santana is back. You know, you hope for him to have a good year and stay healthy. But, you know, they've got more problems than a math book in New York. So, you know, I'm going with the under.
Where are you at, Mike? Over or under on the Mets?
I got a lot of problems like a math book, too. I like that one. Can I use that next show?
Be my guest.
Good. You know what? I picked him over, and it really doesn't have a lot to do with the Mets. The same argument we used in the American League about haves and have-nots. In the National League, there's just not that much separation. So, you know, I look at a team like the Mets and I say, okay, how many series in a year would you say they're not capable of winning 2 out of 3? You know, not that they will, but not capable. And if they're in the American League, I say there's a lot of series that there's no way they're winning more than 1 out of 3. But in the National League, it's not going to take a lot to get to 70 wins because it's not that talented of a league. So I'm going over with them.
And I'm going to say this on the Mets. Assuming they keep that roster intact, I would definitely – go over, but I think that, you know, they may end up trading some of those pieces that they have to try to compete in the years to come. But, I mean, last year they were at 77, and this year they've got David Wright. It sounds like he's healthy. Ike Davis is a sneaky player. This guy is really good. A lot of people don't know it, and he's healthy as well this year. And you got Johan Santana back. I mean, if they keep the team intact, I would definitely go over, but I don't see that happening, so I'm going under as well. And that leads us to the Philly, the big dog of the group. Last year they won 102. Vegas has them at 93.5 this year. Mike, you over or under 93.5 for the Phillies?
I'm under. I think this team came back to the pack. I think there's a lot of injury concerns with them. Once again, you know, they're deceptively mediocre on offense, and their pitching staff is fantastic, but that's a lot of pressure to put on them on the pitching staff to drive them to 93 wins, plus in a tough division. So I think under is where I'm going to stay with these guys.
I'm under as well. I echo everything you said. What do you got, Hank?
I'm going over. I don't know. You know, I don't know why everybody is, you know, down on the Phillies this year outside of the fact that they collapsed in the playoffs. But they have a tremendous pitching staff. They've got some. They've still got some nice pieces. And, oh, by the way, they did pick up Hunter Pence last year. Okay, so they've got some players, and you're talking about a division where, okay, we've said that Miami is going to be disappointing. Atlanta Braves are blah. So, you know, obviously this is still the toast of the East until somebody proves differently. I mean, they ran away with it last year, so they're coming back, and to say this team is not going to win, you know, 94, 95 ball games. You know, you've got a weakened National League, and it's still, in my opinion, I still think, especially in the regular season, that the Phillies are still the toast of the National League right now. In that division.
I don't know, Hank. We're gonna have to come back to that at the end of the year, and you may be eating some crow, but let's move it. Washington 83.5. I'm going over 83.5 for Washington. What do you got, Hank?
No. I'm not selling me on the Nationals. Now, if I'm going to eat crow, I'm going to eat crow on this one. But they're a 500 team at best. I'm not sold on
them. Are you, Mike, where are you at on the Nationals?
You know, I'm over two. I'm over two. For the reasons we've talked about the last couple shows here, they've got young talent. I think they've got a good pitching staff. And, you know, where you guys are, you know, mistakenly on the Miami bandwagon, I'm on the National bandwagon because I think they've got, I think they've got a better pitching staff top to bottom, and I think they've got a lot of good young talent. So I'll go over with them.
All right. And that wraps up the East. We'll throw you a bone, and we'll do the NL Central first for you, Mike. And we'll let you lead. Chicago, 73.5. Chicago Cubs, that is, 73.5 wins. Where are you at?
You know, I'm under. This team's a mess. I think if they can get out from some more payroll during the year, they'll do it. If they can trade some more people, they're going to do it. So it's going to be a long, long year on the north side. The more proper bet is, are they out of it by Memorial Day? You know, which is 10 games or more off of Memorial Day, and I'm saying the NL Central is too strong for them to stay in it at this point, so under.
Yeah, Theo's got a major rebuild going on, and as you know, you got to tear down to build up, so I got him going under as well. Where are you at, Hank?
That's under. You know, the Chicago Cubs is just the lovable losers again.
All right, Cincinnati. 87.5 wins. Hank, where you at on Cincinnati, over or under?
I think I'm going to make friends here. I'm going to go over. I think I'm going to make a big friend over here with my colleague here.
I'm going over, too. I hate to say it. I'm going over, too.
Mm-hmm.
Do we need to – Mike, rather than we ask you where you're going, why don't you just tell us why you like the Reds? Go ahead.
You know what? I'm gonna do the opposite, okay? I'm going to make you guys do it too, okay? I'm going to tell you why the Reds aren't going to win 87.5 games. And as a true fan, you know, you've got to embrace both sides of the coin, right? So let's go why the Reds are going to be under that number. And that's going to be that the young players aren't coming through. Stubbs doesn't come back to 2010 form. He strikes out 200 times in the season. Jay Bruce becomes, you know, what he has been so far is a streaky player and not consistent, that they continue to have injury issues on the back end of the bullpen, and that beyond the top two starters in the rotation, you know, there's some question marks. There's some inconsistencies. So if that plays out, you know, it's a tough division, and they won't get to 87 if those things happen.
Are they going to get to 87 wins?
Yeah. You know, you got to have – I think they've got depth, but I'll, you know, just to argue against it, then I'm going to say no. No, they're not. I think that some bad things could happen to him. How about that?
Well, we don't believe you, but major shout-out for working Drew Stubbs. Major shout-out for working Drew Stubbs in your analysis. That may be the first radio show Drew Stubbs has ever made an appearance, so kudos for that.
You know what? But I'll tell you what, I'm a homer. If he puts it together, he's Curtis Christensen. He's an excellent, excellent player if he can make contact.
All right, Houston, 63.5. I think this is the lowest total on the board. Houston, 63.5. Can they get over the lowest total on the board? Over or under on Houston, Mike?
I'm going to go under. They are fielding a AAA team, and that's being complimentary to AAA teams here. It's more like a AA team because they're not even putting the retreads up there. They got the 19- and 20-year-old kids playing. So all bets are off this year. Houston's going to have a tough, tough, tough season.
What do you got, Hank? Under or over?
They're under, very under.
Yeah. I got the under, too. I looked at this roster, and it's bad. It's just bad. There's nothing else to be said about it. They're just bad. Milwaukee, 85.5. No Prince Fielder. Last year they won 96. This year they're 85.5. Where are you at with them, Mike?
I'm over. You know, as much bad blood that the Cardinals give you if you're not a Cardinals fan, you know, it's kind of like either you're on board with them, it's Duke, right? You love them or you hate them. The Cardinals that way. With Milwaukee, that's just a very likable team. You know, they got a good pitching staff. It's a great park. They've always seemed to score runs, no matter who they had in that lineup. So I think they're going to have a good year this year. And something to be said about Milwaukee here as a park, they sell out. This is a team that drew over 3 million fans last year, and they're going to do that again this year. And there's a real home field advantage in Miller Park for them. So that, to me, gives me a team that, you know, 85, 84 wins with, you know, I would think. But I think that gives them 5 extra wins, and they're sitting close to 90 this year.
Yeah, you know, they won 96 last year. I don't think Prince Fielder is enough for a 10-win regression. So I'm going over as well. How about you, Hank?
I'm going over, too. I don't see Milwaukee falling off that much. Again, you know, they still got their pitching staff intact. Still got the majority of that team minus a Prince Fielder. I see them going winning 90, at least 90 wins.
Wow, 90's high, but yeah, I got them going over too. Pittsburgh, 72.5. Mike, we're going to let you keep carrying this NL Central. Where are you at on Pittsburgh?
You know, I like Pittsburgh, and if you look at Pittsburgh the last couple of years, they were able to stay in that race all the way up till about the All-Star break, a little bit after. And they had a horrible last quarter, last third of the year that really dropped them out of it. But up until that point, they were within 5 games of first place. Andrew McCutchen is a fantastic player. I think they've got some young talent there. And the fact that they're in the division with Houston and Chicago is going to give them a couple extra wins. I'm going to go over and say that if they're on the right track here.
Hank?
I agree. I like Pittsburgh. It was fun watching Pittsburgh be a part of the race a little bit until they fell apart last year. But I think about that with the youth. But I think they're a better team this year, and I'm going to pick the over.
We're 3-for-3. I got them going over, too, simply because they won 72 games last year. If you're giving me a choice, you know, do I think they'll be better than they were last year? Most definitely. I think they learned a lot last year in the race. And I think they're just going to keep getting better. So I got them going over 72.5. Let's close it out with St. Louis. Where are you at on St. Louis, Mike?
I am I'm under on St. Louis. And, you know, once again, this is probably a homer opinion, but I think the loss of Tony La Russa and Dave Duncan is going to be a big deal for this ball club. And they're going to lose a couple wins to that. I also think, obviously, they lost the best player in baseball. So you got to replace that. And you go up and down that lineup. The one thing that sticks out to me about the Cardinals lineup in general is they got some old guys playing on that team that, you know, injury slows you down. You talk about Berkman, who's had a number of injury problems over the last couple of years. He certainly had a great year last year. Holiday. Injury problems last year, missed a significant period of time. You got Furcal, who's getting close to 40 as well. Beltran getting up there. you know, that's a lot of age on your team. So as a Red fan, yeah, and it's tainted, right, I'm going to go under.
Hey, you left me nothing else to say. I'm going under. Well, Hank, where you at with the Cardinals?
I got to go under for one reason and one reason only. Both of your aces are coming off the injuries. You know, Carpenter's not being able to start this year. Wainwright coming off the Tommy John surgery. And then you got a new manager, and you basically a brand new team. So just with all of that, you know, I would have to go with the under.
Indeed. All right. And lastly, we got let's move along to the AL Central. And this is our division, Hank, so I'm going to let you carry this one, Hank. Where are you at with the Chicago White Sox, over or under 75.5 wins?
I'm going under.
The White Sox, to me, is a dysfunctional group this year. I mean, they've lost their manager. They've lost one of their better pitchers. They go and sign a $12 million ball player, which I just think was a waste, you know, a couple of years ago. So I see them finishing maybe, you know, fourth in the division. So I'm going out there.
All right. Mike, where are you at with the White Sox?
I think it's a tough year in Chicago. That's what I think. it's tough for me to see the direction of this team and what they're trying to do. This is another team with some older guys on it making some big money. And I don't see the next, you know, especially with Beckham, who looked so good a couple years ago, just really not living up to that. They need a major infusion of young talent on that team, and at this point I don't see it.
Yeah, I'm tempted to go the same way I did with the Mets on this one. I think that, you know, if they keep all their pieces, I think they could get over 75.5 wins. Like I said before, and you guys kind of laughed at me, I like Adam Dunn this year. I think he's going to bounce back. I just think that they're going to, you know, they're rebuilding. I mean, they're not fooling anybody. They need some young pieces, and I think they may trade some of their veterans to get those young pieces. So for that reason and that reason alone, I'm going under. Cleveland.
You know, RJ, since you mentioned that, let me bring up the first trade rumor of the year, all right? Adam Dunn to Tampa Bay. Putting a lot of bop right in the middle of that lineup. You can ditch Carlos Pena, and then Luke Scott doesn't have to carry the whole load. What do you think about that?
You know what? I could see that one happening. I like it. I like it a lot.
Makes a lot of sense.
But I don't know if they'll be paying Adam Dunn. I mean, he has a monster salary. Chicago would have to take some of that salary. But
And I think they would at this point, especially if you're talking about a team that needs to go in a different direction. They're a prime candidate to pick up half that salary.
I like it. Let's get it done. Get Andrew Friedman on the phone. Adam Dunn to Tampa Bay. Cleveland, 78.5 wins. Where are you at on Cleveland?
It's, you know what? Can it be any worse than last year for a second-place team? I think there's some talent with Cleveland. I think they're a 500 team. I'm going to go over, not much, but I think they're better than I think they're like a 81-81 team. They're a 500 team. They've got some talent on that team, but again, they're just the middle of a pack team. So I'm going to take the over.
Yeah, this is definitely one where if you could go push, I would go push. But I'm going over as well. I think they'll finish right about 500. What do you say, Mike?
I like the over as well. I like their pitching staff. They got a young second baseman. Gosh, he's a team builder. I can't remember his name though. Hank, what was that name?
Oh, Cabrera.
Oh yeah, Cabrera. That's right.
Didn't they just sign him to an extension?
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
That's an inside joke for the listeners. But needless to say, Hank is a big, big fan of Asdrubal Cabrera.
Watching play. That's all I'll tell the listeners. Watching play.
All right. Detroit Tigers, Hank, is your show. We're just listening to you. 91.5 wins for the Tigers, over or under.
Let's see. Oh, man. You know, this one is tough, RJ. I'm going over. I'm going over. I think that the Tigers I'm going to be a homer this time. I think they're going to win the American League pennant. I like the Tigers this year. I like what they've done. Prince Fielder notwithstanding, one of the things that the Tigers had problems with last year was the back end of their bullpen. They addressed that. You know, they've been and picked up Octavio Dotel from St. Louis, and I know it may not sound like a lot, but they've got some other young talent over there. But when you take that with Benoit and with Papa Grande, you know, you've got your nice back end. You know, they've got Pfister and they've got Verlander to, you know, shore up that pitching rotation. Now, the only thing people want to knock the Tigers on is going to be the defense. But, you know, their defense, a team that won 90-plus games last year, wasn't the greatest in the world anyway. But, again, they're going to score a bunch of runs, and again, I'm going with the over.
Yeah, I'm going over as well. I mean, weak division, they'll pick up some cheap wins. I got them going over. Mike, are you going to try to rain on our parade?
Shocked and amazed I am. Shocked and amazed. I'm sitting here stunned. Stunned. I'm going over two.
We've converted him, Hank. He's a Tiger fan.
Yeah.
Woo! Welcome aboard, Mike.
Sweet Lou Whitaker. That's what I'm after.
All right, Kansas City Royals, 78.5 wins. You know, everybody's liking these young guys. They got some interesting pieces. 78.5 wins, Hank, over under on the Royals.
You know what? The Royals are an up-and-coming team. I like the Royals. I like the direction that they're trending. You know, they got some nice young pitchers. They got some nice young talent. And, you know, they can be a thorn in your butt. The problem with the Kansas City Royals always is going to be consistency. And because of that, and because, you know, I don't see them winning no more than 77 ball games. I think they're probably better, but I just don't see them, you know, sustaining it throughout the season. So I've got to go under.
Wow. I'm going over. Mike, where are you?
So my opinion is it's got to start sometime, right? At some point, teams that aren't good consistently turn the corner. Their young talent comes through consistently, performs, all right? And I'm going to compare this team a little bit different, but in the Braves of the early 90s, late 80s. That was a horrible team, but flush with young talent coming up through the system. And it just took 1 year. And that 1 year, they went, I believe it was a worst to first in the East that year and won the division and then didn't stop winning it for about 15 years. So, you know, Kansas City, I'm going to go over with them. I think they've got a ton of young talent. And if they can just hold on to that, they're going to be looking really, really good because, you know, compared to the other teams in that division, they're set up to win for a long time with a young team.
Yep, my words exactly. The young team, Hosmer is going to be awesome. Alex Gordon's coming into his own. I see him going over. I mean, somebody's got to pick up some of these other cheap wins in the division. Last but not least, we got the Minnesota Twins. Last year they had 63 wins. This year Vegas has them at 73. Hank, it's your show. Where are we at on the Twins?
I think they go over. I think that the Minnesota Twins had an abysmal year last year. I mean, you're talking about a team that was basically running the Central, and then all of a sudden they hit a roadblock, they hit a bunch of injuries, and it just cost them, and then it just started to just snowball down. You know, I think Gardenhire is still a great manager. I think they still got some nice talent over there. Do I expect them to do anything? I'll be on 500? No. But I think they're going to win more than 73 ball games.
All right, Mike, where are you at on? Are you as optimistic on Minnesota?
You know, I'm not. And this is a fool me pick here because Minnesota, for the last 15, 20 years, has been a producer from a mid-level market team, and I just don't think they have the talent to do it anymore, especially with Maurer and Morneau and the injuries that they've suffered the last couple years, being inconsistent there. And let me put it to you this way, all right? If we all agree that it's a have and have not in the American League and the disparity between those teams is going to be even greater this year, how do you classify Minnesota as anything but a have not. And if they're a have not, I think you're going to go under.
Yeah, I can't hang my hat on Maurer and Morneau to be healthy and do it, because, I mean, after those guys, there's nothing, and I mean nothing, to get excited about with that ball club. So I'm going under as well. So we wrapped it up. I mean, we got some fodder, I think, for the end of the year. We got some jokes out of it. But hey, it's going to be an exciting year. Let's see how this all plays out. And with that, we're going to go into this dog of the week, and then we're going to get out of here. So, fellas.
Now we're going to get into our Resistance Digital dog of the week. Resistance Digital Solutions. Are you tired of running to the boys in blue? Are you done with listening to sales staff trying to upsell you technology that you don't need? We've all been there. So, what did the real sports guys do? We contacted Resistance Digital Solutions for all our technology needs. They are not there to meet sales quotas or make profit margins. They simply just want to sell you what you need at a fair price. From iPads to PCs to flat screens, TVs, or intricate home theater systems, they customize every solution based on your needs. Check out their website at www.resistancedigital.com or email them at sales@resistancedigital.com for your custom technology solutions today.
Resistance Digital, dog of the week. Who you got, Hank?
You know what? I'm going to make my main man, Jamie Moyer. For all of you senior citizens out there, 49 years young, still pitching. If he wins, he'll be the oldest pitcher over 40 to win a major league ball game. That's got to be my dog.
I like it. That's a good one. Where are you going? Which direction are you going in, Mike?
All right, so before I get there, I do want to put a programming note out there for people. You know, we're all big fans of baseball, and most cable networks now and DirecTV and satellite companies are carrying Major League extra innings for out-of-market games. Just so everybody knows out there, typically they do a first-week free preview for everybody this first week of the season. So I want to let everyone know this is your chance to go out there and see as many games as possible for free. You don't have to pay for it. So I just wanted to get that out there because it's a great way to get exposed to other teams. My dog of the week is not Joey Votto. I'm going to go a different direction. I'm going to say Bob Castellini. And those of you who don't know who Bob Castellini is, he is the owner that said, I am not going to lose my best player to a big market team. I am not going to crush the hopes of my fan base. I am not going to accept status quo and say that I can't compete on a yearly basis. He's the owner of the Cincinnati Reds. He's the guy who opened up the checkbook and committed $225 million, whether that's a good decision or a bad decision. That's the guy I want on my team. That's the guy I want running my team, the guy who writes the checks and says, I don't want to lose anymore. And that makes him my dog of the week.
Wait a minute. Myers Schott sold the team?
No. Her and Carl Lindner had a love child, and that's Bob Castellini.
So Myers Schott is gone. All right. I like it. That was definitely out of left field. I like it. My dog of the week is going to be Matt Cain. I mean, this guy, he was supposed to be going into free agency next year, and he played it perfect. I mean, early reports were that he and San Francisco, during their negotiation period, they were far off. They didn't look like a deal was going to get done. Matt Cain simply came out and said, hey, look, when the year starts, we're not talking about anything else. If we can't get a contract done, I'm going to be a free agent. And then Magic and Stan Kasten came along. You know, teams got nervous that L.A. was going to be throwing around big money in the offseason. And then San Francisco had to back up the truck, the Brinks truck, and pay up. So my dog of the week is Matt Cain for how he played that free agency, it wasn't even free agency, how he played his contract negotiation. Dog of the week, Matt Cain. So that's it. That's going to wrap up our show for this week. Again, next week we got Jonah Carey coming on. He's going to be with us. We're going to talk about his book. He's also got a new book that he's working on. We're going to get into it about his new book, and it's going to be hot. So make sure you tune in. Wednesday night, excuse me, at 9:30 Eastern, 8:30 Central. We'll see y'all next week. Peace.